I want to welcome you to the goodnewsjesuschrist.org. I'm Martin Williams. I want to talk to you today about what it means to be a Christian. The Bible says that there's simplicity in the gospel of Jesus Christ. What does that mean, simplicity in the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, it's real simple. God made it real simple. The only prerequisite that God has for a person to be born again is faith. And faith is that channel that accesses the grace and is a gift of God, salvation. So whenever we receive Jesus Christ and we have faith, the Bible says that we receive his grace and become a new creation. It's that simple. So let's go into that a little bit further, okay? Let's talk about Sabbath rest, okay? The Bible says that we cease from our works as far as salvation goes because we're resting in his finished work. So when Jesus Christ fulfilled God's plan by laying his life down for sin and becoming a curse for us and laying his life down and picking it back up again and conquering the last enemy, death. Well, he said it was finished. He completed and conquered every enemy there was. Everything that would separate us from God was taken care of right there at the cross and the sacrifice and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So our faith is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is what Corinthians teaches us. So Sabbath rest means that for the believer, every day is a Sabbath, that we rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Not a Sunday, whenever a person goes to a church building and they worship God, okay? But every day is a day of rest for the believer. The believer is rested in the finished Sabbath work of Jesus Christ. Every day is the Sabbath for the believer in Jesus Christ. It's that simple. It's not of works, it's not by being good, but it's by grace alone through faith that we are saved in Jesus Christ. So there's three things I want to talk about today because there's a lot of confusion, and I touched on one of these things recently, but I'm going to touch on it a little bit more today because sometimes you got to hear things a few times before they sink in, especially if you're hearing contradictory stuff on the outside that's not biblical because you're listening to so many different people. Now, the truth is that it's not a matter of what I believe or what somebody else believes. It's a matter of what the Bible says. And there's only one interpretation. And not the interpretation is not to me. It's not to another person. It's to the people that it was written to in that time. And it's from the writer that wrote it to the people in that time. There's one interpretation to them. So there's only one interpretation, not what I think it means, not what somebody else thinks it means, but what it actually says. And I remember I used to run this by a professor of mine who I had in college. I used to say, you know, there's this teaching out there, there's that teaching out there. And I said, but this is, you know, what I want to communicate to you. And I said, what do you think about that? And he goes, well, it's what the Bible says. Well, yeah, exactly. That was the whole point. Was trying to communicate, am I right in saying that I'm saying what the Bible says and these guys aren't saying what the Bible says? Yeah, it's what the Bible says. So the point is that it's about what the Bible says. It's about what the original language says and what the one interpretation was in that original language, which is Greek in the New Testament or Hebrew in the Old Testament, to that people it was written to, whether it was an epistle or whether it was one of the Gospels. And in the Gospels, you know, it could have been written to a Pharisee, it could have been written to a scribe, it could have been written to a Sadducee, it could have been written to a Herodian, it could have been written to a lot of different things. So it was all about who Jesus was dialoguing with or what was going on in the text that gives you the interpretation. So whenever you look at things within the context, it's easy to come to the only interpretation because it only meant one thing when he was saying it to the people he was saying it to. And the people who he was saying it to, he was addressing a specific situation or a specific way of thinking, whether it was a Pharisee who was looking to being perfect through the law, or whether it was a Sadducee who was Sadducee because they didn't believe in a resurrection, or whether it was a Herodian who was Hellenized as a result of, you know, the Greek influence from Alexander the Great almost conquering every culture at that time and Hellenizing every culture. And that's where the term Hellenist comes in, where Jews were Hellenized. So, or whether it was one of the scribes who would actually be the people who would rewrite from one papyrus to another papyrus, the scriptures, to preserve them. So he's addressing different scenarios, different ways of thinking, and talking to different people in dialogues. So let's just get into it, okay? Whenever we, this is the thing I touched on, okay, is understanding what it means to walk in the spirit and walk in the flesh. And there's three things we're going to talk about right here, because what we're talking about actually is we're talking about simplicity in Jesus Christ, and we're talking about being able to exercise your senses, okay? So simplicity in Jesus Christ is the foundation of Christianity. It's his finished work. It's nothing we can ever accomplish. It, with man, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible, like Jesus said. So whenever he was referring to salvation in the book of Luke, whenever the disciple said, well, who then can be saved? And Jesus says, well, with man, it's impossible, but with God, it's possible. Why? Because it's his finished work that saves us. So the three things I want to touch on is in exercising your senses. And exercising your senses is a spiritual term that comes out of Hebrews chapter 5. Where it talks about being able to know the difference between good doctrine and unwholesome doctrine. And so let's talk about this first subject of walking in the spirit and walking in the flesh, and then knowing a tree by its fruits will be the second subject, and then testing the spirits will be the third subject, because these become three really important subjects for believers and their spiritual growth and their walk. And I don't want to get off on anything right now, even though I'm kind of going that way. So let's just stick to what I want to talk about here. And talking about the actual walking in the flesh or walking in the spirit, that is found in Romans 8, and that is found in the book of Galatians. Now, and what it's actually saying is that a person who walks in the flesh is a person that is unregenerated. A person that is outside of the spiritual regeneration and the saving work of Jesus Christ, who has not the Spirit of God or the Spirit of Christ within them, the Anointed One. But the person who walks in the Spirit is the person who has Christ living inside of them, who has been born again. And the scripture teaches there, says, if Christ be in you, you are in the Spirit. If Christ is not in you, you are in the flesh. It's real plain and simple. There's no other way to communicate that. It's very plain and explicit in what he's saying there. There's not a secret revelation there. It is what he says. Romans 8 communicates it, and Galatians communicates it. Paul communicates it two times in two different epistles. And then even goes a little bit deeper in Galatians a little further whenever he talks about sowing and reaping and communicating that point again. So the point is it's not a matter of works. It's a matter of your state of being. Are you in the state of the flesh, or have you been regenerated and God sees you in the state of the spirit, sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, whose citizenship is in heaven? If that be the case and Christ is in you, then you are in the Spirit. You walk in the Spirit. You should set your mind on the heavenly things, not the earthly things. You should set your mind on the heavenly wisdom, not the earthly wisdom, which is demonic and sensual, but that which is from above. So renewing your mind becomes the most important thing. You see, most people think that it's about sanctification, that God will finish the work that he started within you. It's not talking about sanctification in the context there. The context is actually talking about Jesus started the work of salvation and gave you the Spirit as a down payment there, and he'll complete that work and finish it by glorifying your body in the resurrection. The glory, and then in another place, he says it again in 2 Corinthians, the glory of the new birth, from glory to glory, to the glory of the glorification of the body in the resurrection. From faith to faith, from glory to glory. He emphasizes that point again in 2 Corinthians. So the point is sanctification, you were sanctified because you were circumcised in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ by circumcision of the spirit, the cutting away of the old man, the old nature, and then rising in the newness of life in the likeness of the resurrection inside the person of Jesus Christ as a new creation when you were born of the spirit. That's why it's called born of the spirit. Now you're in a state of the spirit. You are sanctified by the eternal spirit that was sacrificed for you, like Hebrews 10 says it happened. And the spirits of men made perfect or sanctified through Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. In the book of Hebrews, again, he reemphasizes that point a few times in the book of Hebrews, that we are sanctified in the work of Jesus Christ through the new birth in Christ Jesus and being found in the likeness of the resurrection through spiritual regeneration into the body of Jesus Christ. So sanctification is about a spiritual comprehension and a renewing of your mind now. That's why it becomes so important to renew your mind. Why? Because by renewing your mind, what actually takes place is that you're growing in the spirit and to spiritual maturity, which is causing you to understand things from the spiritual realm and grow according to the spirit to become stronger in the faith. And what you feed becomes stronger, and what you deny dies off. So this idea is that we carry around this crucified carcass with us that's been crucified in Jesus Christ, but we must renew our mind, because if we do not renew our mind, we cannot grow in the spirit. And then if we don't understand that we are victorious over sin and he's transferred us out from the power of darkness into the kingdom of light, from the power of sin into the person of Jesus Christ, then what happens is we allow sin, if we don't mortify the deeds of that sin, because we understand that it's been crucified in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and whenever we were born again, then what happens is that sin can come and wage war against our spirit and erode our faith to the point of unbelief, which is what Hebrews chapter 3 says. Beware lest the evil heart of unbelief come within you and then you come into the point of unbelief again. We don't want to go to unbelief. We want to press forward and we want to grow in the faith. So understanding that we've been delivered from those things, that we've conquered that in Christ Jesus Christ, that we have the victory in the finished work of Jesus Christ, we're able to move forward and then not have this consciousness of sin anymore, because Hebrews says that he came and removed the consciousness of sin. That's why spiritual maturity becomes so important, because as you grow in the spirit, you no longer think on those things. You no longer want those things. Your desires change because he's given you a new nature. You don't want to sin, not because the Ten Commandments say not to sin, but because your nature's changing, you don't want to sin. And you're growing in the spiritual comprehension, the spiritual revelation, and getting more wisdom in Christ Jesus. You see, there's three levels of understanding. And I don't know why this is not taught in Christianity. There are three levels of understanding. There's the knowledge of the word. And then people think because they read the Bible that's enough for them. That's not enough. The Bible says, Jesus says this himself, you search the scriptures, but in them you think that they give you eternal life. But these are just those things that testify me. You must come to me that you have life. So what does Jesus do in Matthew 13? He talks about giving them the keys to the kingdom, spiritual revelation. So there's a knowledge of the word, and then there's the spiritual revelation that we receive and what it reveals about the spiritual finished work of Jesus Christ. That is the understanding. And then the third aspect of that knowledge is the wisdom. Whenever we take it by faith and we make it our own, then we become wise. Then we grow into maturity. So there's the knowledge of the word, the spiritual revelation, and what we receive from Christ as a result of what it reveals about Christ whenever we receive it by faith, and then that wisdom that we get from that. So that's the three levels. Let's move on to the second subject, okay? Knowing a tree by its fruits. This is another concept, okay, where people move away from this concept of simplicity and the gospel of Jesus Christ and want to look to works. They want to look to their own deeds as if they're being perfected by the flesh, like Paul says, who's bewitched you in Galatians chapter 3, haven't begun perfect in the spirit. Now you're trying to be perfected in the flesh, just crucified? Come on. You've been perfected in the spirit. Whenever you receive Jesus Christ, you're never more perfect than at that moment. The point is to renew your mind to make sure you stay that way, to stay in the faith. So the idea that he's talking about in Matthew chapter 7 is the concept that he's really emphasizing is, what kind of tree are you? And in the Synoptic Gospels, he talks about this a few times. And in Matthew 7, he gives one aspect of it, and in another gospel, he goes a little further into it. So what's he actually saying, okay? He's saying, you shall know what kind of tree this is by their fruit. And then in the other gospel, he tells you what that fruit is. You'll know them by their message. What are they teaching? Do they teach the testimony of Jesus Christ? Do they teach works? What are they teaching? You're going to know what kind of tree it is by the message they communicate. So I'm not gonna beat that any further, because this third point actually segues into that and communicates this point. Let's look at 1 John chapter 4, okay, where he talks about testing the spirit, knowing what kind of spirit it is. Is it a spirit of truth, or is it a spirit of error? And all of these concepts come into being able to exercise your senses. Understanding those three aspects of the Word of God, which is the knowledge, the understanding, and the wisdom, which in Jesus is all the treasures of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. He'll give you the wisdom if you ask him liberally. You got to search it out, though. You got to actually read. You got to come to him by faith and pray, Lord, reveal this to me, and actually spend the time with him. It's not just going to fall out the sky and come to you. Some things are not taught. They're caught. The Spirit's got to reveal it to you. So this idea of listening to all these parrots out there that are parroting all these things, instead of you going to the scripture and learning from the anointed one in 1 John that says he teaches you all things, which is Christ Jesus, or the Spirit that guides you in all truth, you can go to the Word yourself and God will reveal it to you. You got to read his Word. Look in the original language. Do some word studies. I teach you how to do word studies on the homepage of my website, underneath studying the Word of God, studying the Scriptures. It's there. I got like 6 to 8 pages there. It's probably 10,000 words or more on teaching you about the Scriptures and how to do word studies and different things like that. So the point is let's get to testing the spirits, okay? Because it's the three aspects of the knowledge, the wisdom, and understanding. Then exercising the senses has to do with that. And then exercising the senses has to do with being able to know whether it's a sheep or whether it's a wolf in sheep's clothing, well, you know, by what kind of tree it is, what kind of message are they communicating? And then whether they're walking in the spirit or whether they're walking in the flesh, because Christ is actually in them or Christ isn't in them, or being able to test the spirits for the spirit of error and the spirit of truth. Here's how you know what their message is. Do they confess that Jesus Christ came into flesh and that he is God? That's what 1 John chapter 4 says. It's one of the points. Do they hear our words in the scripture? Or do they hear the world? And does the world receive them? Or does the world persecute them? You see, those are the four ways that you know whether this person is of a spirit of error, if they're of the spirit of truth. You see, too many people have come across this culture of social media and all these likes and stuff like this, and being conditioned by the world system to think that everybody's got to like you in order to receive from you. Well, Jesus was persecuted a lot, and we're no greater than our master, and the world hated him. They killed him, and they persecuted him and wanted to stone him. So the point is that if you're liked by the world, if you're loved by the world, and nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care, you're probably not communicating the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because every time I communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ, I seem to see some attacks happen. In a lot of cases, probably 60% of the time. And I don't know where they come from. I understand, though, that it's the spirit of the children who are the sons and daughters of disobedience underneath the prince and the power of the air, which is Satan, who is their father, who are unregenerated. That's where it's coming from. Why? Because there's enmity between God and the world. That's what Jesus taught. You can't have the love of the Father and the love of the world within you. They're at enmity with each other. Either you'll be loved one or be devoted to the other. You can't have both. They're at enmity with each other. That's what Jesus said. So these are the things that we need to understand whenever we're growing in the spirit and we're exercising our senses. Look, I hope that this has blessed you. I hope this gives you some insight and the understanding that, yes, we're showing the love of Jesus Christ by sharing the testimony of Jesus Christ. Why? Because we're concerned about people's souls. We want them to have eternal life. That's what it's all about. That is the love, sharing the love of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one that loves them, that laid his life down for them. That's how we know he loves us, because he laid his life down for us. It's about pointing people to him and telling them what Jesus did for them. It's his testimony. So I hope that this encourages you. I hope that this blesses you. And this is Martin with the Good News Jesus Christ.org.